and for coming this evening. And a special thanks to Judith and Joan and Jay for hospitality. And it's a real treat, of course, to read with Dorrit. I've had a chance to hear Dorrit in bits and pieces, but that's the biggest chunk, and it was a wonderful chunk to hear you. Yeah, absolutely. Pittsburgh, wow. And I also want to give a real warm shout out to Michael Worster and to friend Lawrence Ray. Thank you both for coming. Means a lot to me. What I thought I would do is read a couple, kind of a mix of pieces, mixed in terms of new, old, not so old, whatever. The first piece is one of the newer pieces that I've read, and it's a very futile effort to describe this time of year, autumn. When I was growing up, my paternal grandmother, I'll always very fondly remember pointed out to me a weed called Joe Pye weed. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's kind of tall, lanky, and it's got a gray-purple top. And they tend to kind of hang over the road, particularly country roads. And this was, my grandmother was in West Virginia. So this piece is called Joe Pye. Sound check, can you hear me back? Okay, great. Joe Pye. Such days as these are really years, with clouds in sweaters ply and loping hills of yellow. Such slight but gushing mornings are soons with rusty tones inside. Every step makes singing corners. Grandmothers also come along the way, while roads lift up so much from grateful edges. What rain there is standing near, and weeds make every worldly dance in outer rings. Our gullies pure with thanks, or brambles too, come alive with childhood. What splits such days among the years? How's then more now than always? What pulls away to stay wind wise? Our life in eyes of brimming. Thanks. And this piece is a little bit older. It's called August. Who's the best person you've ever met? Out of everyone you've ever known, who would you pick out? If you say it was the baseball player some summers back, then you have to say why. Maybe it was because, just like seeds and the sky, he felt with all of his might the power of distance and kept trying to show it to you. If you say the best person was the widow lady next door, then you're also saying how every step up leads to autumn, or even further, to a worried wisdom, because she was your school. Maybe you'll say that the best one was that kid when you were a kid who smelled like straw or a tunnel. Surely, of everyone you've ever known, he was most like sandals. Then again, maybe you'll not think of anyone right now as you're loving around, which is fine, so long as you're good as a penny. This piece is called No, I Can't. And I just had a chance here. Today is Saturday. Yeah, earlier this week. I've lost complete track of time. Earlier this week, had a chance to read this piece up in Toronto, and it was kind of fun to get the reactions there. No, I can't. Even as young as 19 years old, you'll probably want to have a full beard. A year or more later, when you're in your 20s, you'll be most likely killed at night or slip and drown through ice. But until then, good predictions are that people will look at you from behind and think of corn stalks strongly, yellow and green and slightly rustling. It's hard to tell, but they may even fall in love for a minute or two with the awful way you do things. What's important, of course, is that you're somehow here right now and are almost as timeless as fish's lips. Of the many, many people out there, you've got the hardest mix of promise, like a peach twig down in weeds. And you don't listen very much either, do you? But the honest truth is, you don't really need to. In fact, the two mixed words that come to mind about you are only and such. Let me see if I can track down this one. This is a little bit of a change in scene. I have to kind of take a little bit of a deeper breath when I read this one. It's titled Well. You want angry? I'll give you angry. I'll get you hair burning, mice squealing, toe broken angry. I'll throw it off the roof angry. Smack the moon till it's blue angry. I'll spit words out like a rabid fox and jab angry in the eyes. Yes, indeed. I'll make angry angry. You just watch. 20 years from now, they'll still be hollering up and down about my country called angry and how I discovered it in my boat called pissed off, flying its flag with a finger up the middle. Baby, if you want jolly holly, then keep wiping till you find it. But if you want angry, I'll be right here, looking like a fist and sweet as bloody nose pie. A little bit of a different tone. One thing I tend to do is to bring copies of one poem that I'd like to read, and so that class can follow along. I brought copies of this piece. And I don't know if you just need to just kind of pass it out. I don't know. I just kind of find that when I'm at readings, I enjoy both, of course, hearing the reader, but occasionally also just kind of having a chance to read along or follow along. Somebody in Toronto said, oh, well, did you want us to read with you? And I said, well, you're a good class member, but actually what I had in mind was I would read it and you just have a chance, if you want, to read it silently along. So this piece changes season. Of course, it's about, again, the inexact effort of trying to describe spring. It's titled Once May. No one is better. than the fence is ahead that is only there because of rain. The fence that opens into long ago springs remembered, bending now with dripping buds, with all cupped sounds from as far away as can be held. No one is ever better. No one is dearer than yellows are in green, that you believe are warmer for the chill, that you discover in the smell of clouds, or that you can trust as much as ever will, and that you love like gates of newborn grass. No one is dearer. No one is ever closer than knowing this is home, feeling that you will be here after all, a hillside, and that to come this near for now is somehow as important as early evening May. No one comes closer. Thank you. And I'll just do a couple more. This one is called Cuff, like a shirt cuff. The last thing I was bad. And the next thing I'll be is worse. I'm foregone and predestined like rusted scissors. So it doesn't matter if start stops or girl's boy. I'm natively wrong. And my punishment is to have a string run from my mouth up to the very sky so that I have no secrets at all, and so I really do know better. My idea of perfect is confusion, flies finding a carcass, lips trying to yell underwater, or gravity crazy mad at its equal. I like messes. And whatever throws a fit, I like mud, even up on the ceiling. As I've said, just give me one good reason why I shouldn't enjoy fumes or snakes or anything that's out of control. Tell me why disaster shouldn't be a friend. You see, here's what it really comes down to. My dead is better than yours, and I'll bet the whole stash on it, even as all of the big brown cows go floating down by us in the river. And I'll end with this piece. It's a little bit newer piece. It's called Undone. If I unteach my kiss or unwake my morning and star the days that rise beyond, if I reach back to where the newest lives and firsts float by, if I undo my dunnings and near the point of dreaming, get there and then come back to now with any gathered loops or straw long gone, if I but ever. If I return to us and unteach my kiss or untime my shirt or unhum arrows, if I begin all over, if I act like onions do in autumn and want surprise as if it plunked the surface, if I unteach my lips to dwell. And if all that and more becomes my taken for granted, if I unteach my kiss, if I unlearn my every now of you to swim. Thanks so much to everyone for coming out this evening. Much appreciated.